From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 104, verse 16. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. Lebanon's cedars are emblematic of the Christian, in that they owe their planting entirely to the Lord. This is quite true of every child of God. He is not man-planted, nor self-planted, but God-planted. The mysterious hand of the divine Spirit dropped the living seed into a heart which he had himself prepared for its reception. Every true heir of heaven owns the great husbandman as his planter. Moreover, the cedars of Lebanon are not dependent upon man for their watering. They stand on the lofty rock, unmoistened by human irrigation, and yet our heavenly Father supplies them. Thus it is with a Christian who has learned to live by faith. He is independent of man, even in temporal things. For his continued maintenance he looks to the Lord his God, and to him alone. The dew of heaven is his portion, and the God of heaven is his fountain. Again, the cedars of Lebanon are not protected by any mortal power. They owe nothing to man for their preservation from stormy wind and tempest. They are God's trees, kept and preserved by him, and by him alone. It is precisely the same with the Christian. He is not a hothouse plant sheltered from temptation. He stands in the most exposed position. He has no shelter, no protection, except this, that the broad wings of the eternal God always cover the cedars which he himself has planted. Like cedars, believers are full of sap, having vitality enough to be evergreen, even amid winter snows. Lastly, the flourishing and majestic condition of the cedar is to the praise of God only. The Lord, even the Lord alone, hath been everything unto the cedars. And therefore David very sweetly puts it in one of the Psalms, Praise ye the Lord, fruitful trees, and all cedars. In the believer there is nothing that can magnify man. He is planted, nourished, and protected by the Lord's own hand. And to him let all the glory be ascribed.
Amen.
you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. During the past few days, Dr. Cairns has been examining the spirituality of God's law. We've seen that the law of God is spiritual in its searching of the soul. It deals with the innermost aspects of the human condition, the sinfulness of every soul in its motives, thoughts, and actions, showing the futility of mere external religion. Furthermore, God's law is spiritual in the scope of its statutes. Although the statements of the law are clear enough, there is more to what God requires than a simple list of do's and don'ts. Behind each of the Ten Commandments lies a precept that covers a whole range of human action and thought. Again, God's law is spiritual in the strictness of its standards. What God requires is absolute and total obedience, something no man can do on his own. Then the law is spiritual in the satisfaction of his sentence. God declares, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But thank the Lord, there is a remedy for this dilemma. It is found in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as Paul wrote, was made sin for us. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, the spirituality of the law.
If you take all that the Bible teaches on hell, the Lord Jesus spoke more of hell than all the other New Testament preachers put together. There's wisdom in that. Because while all Scripture is inspired, I think human nature would rebel against such an awful teaching, except in the lips of the God-man himself. What is the sanction of the law? Sometimes it is temporal. Sin finds people out in their body. It finds them out in their family. It finds them out often in their children. It finds them out in their business. It finds them out in broken lives and broken minds and broken hearts. But whether it does these things or no, it finds them out in the torments of a lost eternity. Hell is real. Hell is real. It's not the figment of some priestly imagination. It is the revelation of the God of truth. The law is spiritual in the sentence that it demands for its satisfaction. You know, if that were all the message of the law of God, it would be bleak indeed. And if you have felt something of the bleakness and the terror and the awfulness of the spirituality of God's law, I thank God for it. For it is a bleak and terrible truth unless you grasp one last theme here. There is an additional theme. The law declares its spirituality not only by executing an eternal justice on the sinner, but by receiving a vicarious or substitutionary obedience from Christ for all believers. The law is spiritual because it is, if I could personify it, it is willing to receive from Christ a perfect obedience, a perfect satisfaction, and make a gift of that to every believer. Galatians 3:13 puts it this way: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This morning we thought a little of the work of the cross. Here is the inner meaning of Calvary. On that center cross and the preternatural darkness of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ hung there a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. He had lived a life of perfect obedience to the precept of God's law, and now he dies a death to satisfy the penalty of that law. There in Calvary's darkness, Jehovah took the glittering sword of the justice of God's law and he thrust it into Christ. The Lord Jesus took the pain and the wrath and the alienation that was the sinner's due. He took all that the wrath of God could pour upon him, and in the words of one poet, in one almighty draught, he drank damnation dry. The law of God received from Christ a vicarious satisfaction for all believers. Paul puts it this way: by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By Adam's fall, we were constituted sinners, and we have lived in sin, and we die in sin, and in Adam we must be damned in sin. But oh, here's the gospel: even so, by the righteousness of one, namely Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What a glorious gospel this is. Once again, as we have seen in the first couple of studies, The message of the law leads us to Christ. As I thought of this, I realized Christ bore the scrutiny of the law. That searchlight of the law of God searched through the actions of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the feelings of Christ, the very soul of Christ. He bore the scrutiny of God's law, and the law found nothing but sinless perfection. He obeyed the statutes of God's law. He fulfilled the strictest standards of God's law. And then he suffered the fullness of the sentence of God's law. And here in Christ is God's one way of salvation. Romans 4 verse 5 has an amazing statement. To him that worketh not. I love that. How could God say to a sinner as vile and filthy as you or I, if you do this or that, you'll get to heaven? What can I do but sin? Everything that I do is tinged with my sinfulness, my sinful nature, my imperfection. The holiest thing I have ever felt or thought is yet riddled with the wickedness and the depravity of my own being. How could I ever have any hope if God said, do this and live? I must be damned irretrievably in hell. But all the gospel is to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth, listen, the ungodly. My mind boggles at those words. The holy God of absolute perfection justifies the ungodly. And when he does so, he counts his faith for righteousness, or as Paul interprets that, he imputes to that man the absolute righteousness of Christ. That's the gospel. God justifies sinners, not by lowering the standards of the law, but by fulfilling them. He justifies the ungodly legally. How does he do it? By the righteousness of Christ. How do you receive that? By faith, without works. I said at the beginning, if you have never begun to feel the reality and wickedness of sin, you need to stand in two places. And I have sought with all I can, with all the mental and physical energy of which I am capable, I have sought tonight to make you stand in those two places. At Mount Sinai, to hear the thunder of the law's proclamation, and at Mount Calvary, to see the evidence of the law's penalty, and to know the sole and single way of grace. If tonight at Mount Sinai you stand convicted of sin, I pray God you'll stand in the shadow of that cross. You'll lift your eyes to that Christ, and you'll cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Justify me, the ungodly, by faith in Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our eternal God, and our Father in heaven, we stand before Thee tonight with nothing hidden. Our works, our words, our thoughts, our feelings, our very souls. We stand before Thee tonight, in Adam condemned as sinners, wicked, vile, and unclean. There is no hiding place. There is no excuse. But, oh God, we would hasten to Calvary. Tonight, we thank Thee for that rock of ages cleft for me. And our prayer would be, let me hide myself in Thee. Our God, we know no hiding place but Christ. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt teach Christians tonight just how full and glorious is their justification. And Lord, speak to those who have had light views of sin. Speak to young people in this meeting, aye, and older people too, who are going through life with little conviction of sin and little shame for their wickedness before God. Oh God, convict the lost of sin this evening. And as they stand convicted and condemned, Lord, bring them to Calvary. Great God of wonders, do this wondrous work of saving grace. Oh God in mercy, bring the lost to the Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, answer prayer. Give fruit for the preaching of Thy word. We expect Thee to do that, for Thou hast said, Thy word shall not return unto Thee void. Hear our prayer, part us with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear. Let us who know Thee live in the fullness and the joy of our justification, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.